Last weekend, state Justice Department officials raided a Department of Corrections facility for juveniles in Irma, Wisconsin. The raid was part of an ongoing John Doe investigation into conditions at the facility and allegations of abuse, negligence, and mismanagement.
The Lincoln Hills School for Young Offenders in northern Wisconsin is located south of Tomahawk. About 300 people, mostly males, are being held at that facility. Patrick Marley's been covering the story for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us, what are some of the alleged crimes that are being investigated in this investigation of the Lincoln Hills facility?
There's a whole host of things they're looking at, and the judge said that there's reason to believe that crimes that have occurred include second-degree sexual assault, strangulation, excessive use of pepper spray, destruction of records, laws perhaps were violated governing how state facilities are supposed to be run, child neglect, child abuse. The list is very long.
And apart from the potential criminal acts themselves, it sounds like there are concerns about mismanagement, failure to report crimes, as you mentioned, and serious safety concerns more widely for both staff and inmates there. What do we know about the conditions at this facility?
Well, I've spent the last day talking to current and former staff up in that area, and they say that the situation there has become much more volatile in recent years, much more disruptive. The kids are acting out, and they're having there are a lot of fights with youth fighting other youth, or situations where they're hitting staff or attempting to strike staff. Staff are, having put their hands on them when these incidents occur, and people are getting hurt.
You mentioned a few years ago, and in your reporting, you noted that a few years ago, 2011, I think, the Ethan Allen School was closed. Inmates there, many of them moved to Lincoln Hills. Are people saying, hey, there's a connection here?
Yeah, I think that there's pretty broad agreement that problems started around the time those two schools were merged. They closed the Ethan Allen prison, which school facility, which is in suburban Milwaukee, because the number of the juveniles were decreasing, and so they put them all in one place. That's Lincoln Hills. Around that time that they merged those schools together is about the time that problems started to develop. Everybody says this is something that's been gradual over a number of years and has just gotten out of hand.
We've heard from your reporting and others that staff have been trying to raise these concerns, current and former staff, not in the last week, but over months, maybe even longer. So this isn't necessarily a surprise, at least to people who have been listening to them.
Yeah, I mean, staff have been raising concerns. The union has been putting out news releases. They've been contacting the Department of Corrections, saying they think there's a situation here. This investigation, it's really sort of become wide public knowledge in the last week, but this investigation began in January from the State Department of Justice, so almost a year now. Back in the fall, they had the special investigators for the Department of Corrections involved. So this has been a very wide-ranging probe, parallel investigations going on for a long time, and there have been people raising concerns since before then.
Talking to Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel about the ongoing investigation of the Lincoln Hills School. This is a juvenile facility in northern Wisconsin run by the Department of Correction. Department of Public Instruction has a role to play, too, with education there. This raid this weekend, Patrick, fairly dramatic. You don't often see one branch of state government raiding a facility run by another one. What happened this weekend?
Around 6 a.m. on Saturday, 50 agents and attorneys for the Department of Justice showed up, did a virtual occupation of the place, held some staff over who were coming off of their shift, brought in people as they were coming in to do interviews. There were two agents or an agent and an attorney interviewing each staff member individually. This week they've been interviewing the youth who live there. It looks like they're talking to virtually everybody who has anything to do with that place, logging any concerns, and then delving into detail. In fact, their resources, they're running out of space. They're actually doing interviews and things in buildings outside of the Lincoln Hill School in the town of Merrill. This seems like an extremely thorough investigation.
Give us a little background. Who is held at this facility?
So this facility has young kids, Generally, they leave when they're 18, but there are some people there who stay until the age of 21. So it's a mix of, you know, you've got some kids who are 14 or 15, and then you've got 19-year-olds, so a pretty big mix. There, it's mostly boys. There are two, they call them cottages. They've got these small housing units that are scattered on across their campus. They have, I believe, two units with girls in them. So they've got these places where they've got two staff, essentially, in a building with up to 50 kids, and then patrol officers who will stop by there if there are problems that arise. And so, you know, alarms are sounded if things get disruptive in a particular cottage.
There have been concerns since this came out this week over the leadership at this facility, maybe beyond higher up in the state government. Is that one of the next questions, trying to figure out who knew what and how they responded?
Yes. I mean, you had people last week. There was this secret John Doe hearing that we didn't know about at the time. But on Thursday, they convened this John Doe hearing and brought in two current or former staff, interviewed them. That same day, the superintendent for the school was taken out of his job, and then the person in Madison who is in charge of the division that oversees that school, the Division of Juvenile Corrections, he was taken out of his job. That guy, Paul Westerhaus, formerly ran the school for a very long time up in Irma.
And you were looking into the role that the head of the Department of Corrections played in raising these concerns and addressing these concerns. What do we know at that level?
Well, Ed Wall has said that they're taking this very seriously. He's the corrections secretary, that they're taking this seriously, that protecting youth is their number one concern, and that they think he's saying simultaneously that he thinks that there's a small number of people who are responsible for these problems, but that also there's a culture at the school, he has been told, that is problematic. But, you know, he says a small group of people. You also have to keep in mind he did relieve the top two people of their duties overseeing the school. They had previously announced that they were going to retire in January. This is John Arata, the former superintendent of the school, and Paul Westerhaus. They were going to retire on the same day in January. Ed Wall praised them. This is just a few weeks ago. And then last Thursday, had them both taken out of their jobs immediately.
That Ethan Allen School, we mentioned earlier, closed in part as a cost-saving measure. We see among the complaints from the staff there forced overtime. Are we in a position where the state saved some money by closing one facility, but at least according to workers there, didn't give them the resources to cope with the school now with inmates from both of those facilities at one place?
Overtime is and staff shortages are a problem that are widespread throughout the Department of Corrections. There are a number of state prisons. You can go talk to workers from any of them. They say they are forced to work many 16-hour shifts, that overtime is something that's happening all the time. Lincoln Hills is no different than that. They have people who, you know, they don't have enough people to do all the work. So this is a secure facility. You've got to have the right number of posts filled 24 hours a day, and so people are made to work a lot of hours, and you talk to those people and they say it's a stressful environment. You've got, you know, it's unpredictable, it's chaotic. You got some kids who are raising some potential, you know, raising some serious disruptions at times, and that's hard to take for 8 hours, and it's really hard to take for 16 hours.
Well, given that chaos, risks of safety, this investigation has been going on since January. Some incidents, I think, reported since then. Have there been concrete steps to try to boost safety for the inmates and the staff there, and are there new steps being taken now after this raid?
The Department of Corrections is not telling us a lot about all of the things that they are doing, because the investigation is ongoing, but they also say that, you know, as they learn information, they're changing policies. I've talked to people who have said in recent weeks new policies have been implemented, or policies that are on the books that hadn't been followed are now being more stringently applied. So there does seem to be an attempt to try to change the way things are done there. But we don't have a lot of specifics on what those are.
One group we haven't talked about related to this investigation are among the people being interviewed. Are they talking to current and former inmates at the facility?
I don't know about former inmates. They are talking to current inmates. I know that yesterday and perhaps Tuesday they were interviewing them one-on-one, and that now new allegations are surfacing. I mean, I think anytime they talk to somebody, they often learn new things, and then they have to go check out to see if that's, you know, those concerns that they're raising are valid. And so I think that every day they're coming up with new things that they need to go look into.
Have we heard anything yet on this from the governor or the state legislature?
Only in the very early day. The governor was briefed by Attorney General Brad Schimmel last week. He has said that he did not think that he thought that the pops were being addressed and that it was a small number of people. That he had faith in Ed Wall, the corrections secretary. Legislators, I don't know that we've heard a lot from. We do know that last month some of them were contacted by the parents of someone whose kids work at the facility about how serious things had gotten, and saying that he hadn't heard back from leaders at DOC, at the Department of Corrections, when he raised concerns. So it's been on the radar screen, at least, of some legislators from that area and on the corrections committees for the legislature. But we haven't heard a lot from them about what they want to do or what they think is going wrong here.
Patrick, as we wrap up, this is a John Doe investigation in the new era of John Doe investigations after the law was changed. Did that affect how those changes affect how this John Doe investigation was undertaken, as far as we know from what we've seen?
It's a little unclear. One thing that's interesting is they launched this John Doe investigation on October 22nd. That's one day before the governor signed it into law. It's unclear if that's a coincidence or if that was done so that they could at least follow some of the old rules by doing that. One thing they say they're investigating is misconduct in office. Under the new John Doe statute, you cannot investigate that crime using the John Doe law. So I don't know where that goes if they have to. I don't know how they're going to handle that part of it.
Patrick, thanks as always for bringing us up to date.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That was Patrick Marley. He's a state capitol reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can check out his reporting on this issue. It's linked at the Central Time Facebook page.